From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Judges, Dr. Cairns comes to one of the most famous of the judges, Samson. Once again, after repeated deliverances by God, Israel had fallen into the familiar pattern of disobedience, apostasy, and bondage, this time to the Ammonites and the Philistines. In a totally undeserved display of His mercy, God raised up a mighty deliverer for His people. As he introduces this message, Dr. Cairns draws attention to the announcement of Samson's birth by the angel of the Lord, showing how this parallels other such announcements in Scripture. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will commence a message entitled, Lessons from the Birth of Samson. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Absolute Assurance. The text is Hebrews 13 and verse 5. He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Several times in the Scriptures the Lord hath said this. He has often repeated it, to make our assurance doubly sure. Let us never harbor a doubt of it. In itself the promise is specially emphatic. In the Greek it has five negatives, each one definitely shutting out the possibility of the Lord's ever leaving one of His people so that He can justly feel forsaken of His God. This priceless Scripture does not promise us exemption from trouble, but it does secure us against desertion. We may be called to traverse strange ways, but we shall always have our Lord's company, assistance, and provision. We need not covet money, for we shall always have our God, and God is better than gold. His favor is better than fortune. We ought surely to be content with such things as we have, for he who has God has more than all the world besides. What can we have beyond the infinite? What more can we desire than almighty goodness? Come, my heart, if God says he will never leave thee nor forsake thee, be thou much in prayer for grace, that thou mayest never leave thy Lord, nor even for a moment forsake his ways.
Lord, you are my shepherd.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life and death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see the elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8 made out to Let the Bible Speak. Send it to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today.
Now, Judges chapter 13, let's read together this chapter of the Word of God. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, Let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened unto the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah her husband was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife, and came to the man, and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when my sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on, for it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this passage from his own precious word for his name's sake. Samson is unique among all the judges of Israel. If you've paid even passing attention as we have read through this book, you'll know that in every case, with the very slight exception of Jephthah, no attention whatsoever is paid to the birth of the judges. But when we come to the case of Samson, an entire chapter is devoted to the visit of the angel of Jehovah to Manoah and his wife to announce Samson's birth. Samson, I feel, gets a very rough handling from preachers. And of course, there is good reason for that, and as we progress in these studies, there will need to be attention paid to some of the less savory aspects of Samson's character and work. But I think we can very easily miss, by focusing on the bad, we can miss the fact that these were but temporary, transient, and brief interludes in an otherwise good and unblameable life. And I think we can also miss the fact that the Lord has given Samson a place in a very elite and select company in Scripture. Cast your mind over the entire Bible and start trying to think of those whose birth was angelically announced in advance. We think of Isaac. When the angel of the Lord came to Abram and changed his name and that of his wife Sarai, and then told them of the birth of Isaac. We think of John the Baptist. Though as we proceed, we'll see that while an angel by the name of Gabriel came to announce to Zechariah the coming birth of John the Baptist, the angel of the Lord who announced the birth of Isaac and now the birth of Samson was no mere created angel. He is what has often been called the unbegotten or the uncreated angel of the Lord. He is the second person of the Trinity in a pre-incarnation appearance on earth. But John the Baptist's birth was angelically announced. And of course, the most outstanding case of all, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in what we call the Annunciation, as Mary was told by the angel of God of the coming birth through her of the Messiah. In fact, as you read Judges 13, there are certain ways in which your, and I think very good reasons, why your mind would immediately go to the Annunciation and think of the comparison between the birth of Samson and the birth of Christ. There are parallels and there are contrasts. I think the contrasts are actually more outstanding in many ways than the comparisons. In Judges 13, for instance, we find that the angel of the Lord came to a married woman. But when he came to Mary, he came to a virgin. In Judges 13, the child that was to be born of natural generation from Manoah and his wife. But in the case of Jesus Christ, the child was to be born of a virgin by the miraculous interposition of God, and there was no human father. In Judges 13, we find that this child, Samson, was sent to deliver the children of Israel from the bondage they were in to the Philistines. But when the Lord Jesus Christ was sent, he was sent to save not only a remnant of Israel, but to take a people out of all nations, kindred, and tongues, to save them not from any mere earthly tyrant, but from sin and death and hell and the devil. We notice concerning Samson that he was to begin to deliver Israel. Thank God when Christ came, he not only began the work, but he completed the work. He is not only the author, but the finisher. He is not only one who started out. He is the one who absolutely, totally, once and for all, put God's final period to the work. Samson started something that kept on until the reign of David, and it was only through David that the Philistines were finally crushed. When Jesus Christ came into the world, he continued and let no other hand be put to the work of our redemption until on Calvary's cross he cried, "It is finished." As I have noted, Samson in his life and ministry was marred by great personal sin. Jesus Christ has the testimony of heaven. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He has the testimony of hell. "We know thee, who thou art, the Holy One." He has the testimony of his enemies in earth. "Never man speak like this man, and I find no fault in him." He has the testimony of his friends that he did no sin, he knew no sin, and in him was no sin. He is the impeccable Christ. And of course, when we come to the great climax of their stories, we find that Samson died in bondage, but Christ died a victor and rose again triumphant from the grave. But obviously, the very contrast, stark, clear, and clamorous, the very contrasts point us to the importance of the birth of Samson. What I want us to do tonight is to look at this 13th chapter and learn some basic lessons from the birth of Samson. I'm going to scare you. I told my wife this is the kind of message that I'm a little tentative about because it's going too many directions for me. She nodded her head and said, that means it's going to be long. She knows me. I'm not making any promises, but I don't intend it that way. But there are seven great truths that we learn here, and I want to go through them as succinctly as I can tonight. First of all, in verse 3, we have the great lesson and truth of the mercy of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said, and went on declaring how she would conceive and bear this son. We've already read in verses 1 and 2 that the children of Israel had gone into sin. They'd gone into disobedience, apostasy, that awful paralysis in the land, that cancer that was eating the very vitals out of the work and of God. Apostasy was rampant again among the children of Israel. It is amazing how frequently they turned back to Baal worship, idol worship. We find later there is an emphasis here on not eating any unclean thing. That should never need to have been said to one of the children of Israel. The law was clear and plain, but it is obvious that this chapter is set against a background when there was a deep apostasy, when there was a turning away from God, when there was little emphasis on the law of God, when even those who bore the name of the Savior were not at all careful as to how they lived. And in this day of darkness and apostasy and the consequent bondage, let me refresh your memories that because of this apostasy, the Lord subjected Israel to a great twin movement of great enemies. From the one side of Jordan, there came the Ammonites. And then from the other side, there came the Philistines. And the children of Israel were to be the meat in the sandwich. God raised up Jephthah to deal with the threat from the Ammonites. Now he's raising up Samson to begin to deal with the threat from the Philistines. But here is the picture of sin, spiritual declension, disobedience to God, neglect of the plain statements of the law of God, casting away the standards of Scripture in order to live in conformity to the world. Ungodliness rampant among those who name the name of Jehovah, and as a consequence, they are in deep bondage and bitterness to the world. And in that situation, when they deserved nothing good from God, they deserved indeed nothing but judgment. The Lord came to this woman among the Danites, and he said in effect, I have seen the affliction of these people, and I am going to raise up a deliverer. So that whatever the depth of the sin, the Lord's mercy extended to the children of Israel.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.